This week on Making Contact.
Si, senores, we continue transmission. It is exactly 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning by the watch of the rebellion here in Radio Planton. The riot police are closing in on us.
A government under siege and everyday citizens in the crossfire. An annual teacher's strike in the historic Mexican town of Oaxaca has become the largest people's rebellion in the country in over a decade. To date, human rights organizations report hundreds of illegal detentions, disappearances, and injuries. And there have been at least 18 documented deaths. Making Contact takes you to the occupied streets of Oaxaca, where thousands are fighting to oust a governor, risking all for the future of their city. I'm Tina Rubio, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, vital ideas, and important information.
On May 22, 2006, no one in Oaxaca or Mexico imagined that the annual teacher strike that occupied Oaxaca's historic center that day would become a catalyst for the largest popular rebellion in Mexico since the Zapatistas emerged on New Year's Day in 1994. Events described by Oaxacans in this report detail the unfolding of a broad people's rebellion at a crucial moment in the increasingly volatile Mexican political landscape. Eva Lopez Chavez is with the Coalition of Oaxacan Indigenous Teachers and Promoters, also called CEMPIO. That's the National Union of Education Workers.
Pues como la CEMPIO nació mucho antes, desde el 74, antes de que la sección 22
The CEMPIO began well before 1974, before Section 22. In 1980, Section 22 brought everybody together to democratize education in Oaxaca. But before 1980, CEMPIO already existed. They had already had their struggle. So in 1980, when the movement began here in Oaxaca, there was already a lot of experience. The plan and program that we are working with is the same as on the national level. From there, the organization already had 10 years trying to seek changes in education, because the national program does not correspond to the community's needs. Many communities have agrarian problems. There are also political problems in the communities, and because of them, many teachers of the CEMPIO have been assassinated. They have assassinated around 7 of our teachers.
Bueno, mi nombre es Gisela, soy maestra también, y como lo comentaba la compañera hace un momento, nosotros los maestros tenemos 26 años.
I am Giselda. I am also a teacher. So as la compañera just mentioned, we the teachers have 26 years in this struggle. We are seeking rezoning. The country is divided into 3 zones and we want to be rezoned so we can earn more money. But they have been putting us off and putting us off, and on June 14th came the repression. There was a helicopter lobbying tear gas, but in the end, the compañeros regrouped, ran the police out, and retook the Zocalo. Because of this action, the people united with us, and it is no longer merely a teacher struggle. Now our principal demand is no longer rezoning or economics, but the fall of Governor Ortiz.
And it's not just the teachers. Hundreds of thousands want Oaxaca State Governor Ulises Ruiz Ortiz to step down, but he refuses to do so, at least at the time of this report. That means Ortiz will be in office till 2010.
Señoras y señores, seguimos transmitiendo exactamente, son las 4 de la mañana, las 5 de la mañana, y radio del Estado.
Señoras y señores, we continue transmission. It is exactly 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning by the watch of the rebellion here in Radio Planton. The riot police are closing in on us. They are already entering the union building. The tear gas grenades can be heard. We are calling, señoras, we are calling you to come out of your houses. The only thing we know at this moment is the 2 compañeros from Radio Plantón have disappeared. There are 4 compañeros, they inform me, 4 compañeros who broadcasted here from 92.1 FM. They also took away 14 other compañeros that they picked up from the street. Another fact is that there are 6 wounded in the hospital. Among them is a pregnant woman and a child, a student. He'd come to see his parents.
Yo le pido a la gente de mi tierra, tierra linda oaxaqueña, tierra santa de pobreza. Yo te pido con firmeza reforzar la resistencia. Tu valor.
Gustavo Esteva is the founder and director of the internationally recognized Universidad de la Tierra in Oaxaca City, also known as Earth University.
El movimiento estaba allí, el descontento estaba allí.
The movement was there. The discontent was there, evidenced in diverse expressions, many expressions. What happened on June 14th, not the 22nd of May, not with the teachers, but the repression on June 14th, is what sparked all of us to say no to what we call the politics of one no with many yeses.
El magisterio oaxaqueño ya está más unido, está más sólido.
The Oaxacan teachers are, today, more united, more solid. They wanted us to give into violence starting a while back in order to deal a blow to this movement. The only thing that Ulysses has achieved with that is to solidify it. We are united. We have the people with us, and today we are going to show it.
Sara Mendez of the Oaxaca Human Rights Network.
The organizations of civil society reject the use of violence and repression that the state government has used against the teachers and the Oaxacan social movement. But I believe that it is more than that. This is an aggression not only against them, but also against society in general.
We have distinct projects, distinct ideals, distinct political lines. But we have a common no. That common no is Ulysses. This we owe to Ulysses himself. It brings us all together in one movement. And from there, the movement has taken on a nature of its own.
As a result, the Popular Assembly of the People of Oaxaca was formed, and the first of a series of 7 mega marches was held. Enrique Rueda Pacheco, leader of the 22nd section of the National Teachers Union, was at the forefront of the June mobilizations.
Estemos en nuestras colonias, en nuestras comunidades, en nuestras regiones, organizándonos de manera independiente. Es el único camino.
We are in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our regions, organizing ourselves independently. This is the only means that the people have to demand and resolve that which belongs to us by right. The right to health, to housing, and to a life with dignity. We also want to make known that the Oaxacan teachers ratify our commitment to the education of the children and the youth of Oaxaca. That is why we declare the beginning of this massive popular assembly of the people of Oaxaca, which has at its origins only one objective, the immediate fall of Ulysses Ruiz Ortiz. It is the only objective. He has to go. He has to abandon our state, he and all of his cronies.
We'll have more in a few moments. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information, or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also download programs or get our podcast at radioproject.org. We now take you back to the streets of Oaxaca, where Making Contact's Tim Russo reports.
Gilberto Hernández Santiago is the coordinator for the legal committee of the Asamblea Popular de los Pueblos de Oaxaca, also known as the APO. Formed by 15 lawyers, the committee handles legal issues for the APO movement and has filed for the removal of Oaxaca's governor, Ulysses Ruiz Ortiz.
Se juntaron sindicatos, organizaciones sociales, asociaciones civiles y demás sectores.
On June 20th, unions, social organizations, civic associations, and other sectors and regions of the state came together to constitute the Popular Assembly of the People of Oaxaca. and we said we have to give direction to this great movement. That, at the moment, brings together 366 organizations from all over the state, including representatives from the seven regions in Oaxaca that participated in its constitution. And in this assembly, by the same logic, the governor was deemed unrecognizable, given that he has demonstrated unequivocally that he has no capacity to govern and that he has only tried to do so through the use of force.
The state of Oaxaca is made up of 16 indigenous ethnicities, forming the state's largest population and the greatest concentration of indigenous people in Mexico. Gustavo Esteva explains the significance of their participation in Oaxaca's popular rebellion.
Where there is no burnout, but where there could be many confrontations soon, is in the rural and indigenous part of the movement. That was there from the beginning, and from them we learned a good deal of what we are doing here. It's Oaxaca's own traditions. It's a Oaxacan way of doing things. They felt that this was a good moment, and it is evidently a good moment because it is a moment of obvious weakness for the political classes. This has also reached the urban sectors. Things that were in the process of germination, latent means of organization in the neighborhoods, were activated with the movement. And now we have solid, important, interesting organization within the neighborhoods.
Again, Giselda.
Quiero regresar un poquito hacia atrás.
I want to back up a little. This Ulises Ruiz is from the Institutional Revolutionary Party, the PRI, and he didn't win the elections, but rather there was electoral fraud. Even so, the people stayed calm in spite of the fraud and didn't take action at that moment. But it turns out that he began to take revenge on the people who didn't support him. There is a newspaper here in the city called Noticias. He burned some of their newspaper stands in revenge because they didn't support him, and he sent a shock force to take over their installations, saying that they were the newspaper workers and they overran the offices.
It isn't a spontaneous thing. It's a well-planned and agreed-upon action that obeys a government plan by trying to install fear in the newspaper Noticias. Two nights ago, barely two blocks away from here, a person was assassinated and the police didn't show up, claiming they were near the barricades of the teachers' movement.
That was Genaro Altamirano, the director of the daily Oaxacan newspaper, Noticias. Flavio Sosa, one of the most visible APO leaders, explains the importance of radio in this movement.
Bueno, mira, yo te decía que son distintos fenómenos que se empalman para lograr.
There are distinct phenomena that are coming together so that things develop the way they're developing in Oaxaca. One of them is the questioning of the media, and this is where the radios that have been occupied by the movement have played an important role. The radios have served the function of broadcasting the voice of the movement. The radios have enabled a true process of communication between the citizens and the media, not a monologue, but rather a dialogue, an interaction between those who are listening and those who are speaking. These radios have created the possibility that the people's voice be heard, that the people can listen to each other, and that this is reflected in the radio. So it has been fundamental for the development of the APO. Those of us in popular movements didn't used to have a voice. Those of us who are poor never saw ourselves on television. When the poor among us saw ourselves reflected on TV, when the compañeros took over Channel 9, that scene will never be forgotten by Oaxacans.
I also played a part in taking over the space in the Channel 9 building. Approximately 5,000 of us arrived here to take over these installations.
En ese lugar salieron pistoleros para tratar de asustar a la marcha y dispersarla.
Gunmen came out to try and scare the march and to disperse it. They shot in the air over the march and they killed our compañero José Jiménez Colmenares.
The government attacks on the radio, La Ley, while occupied by the APO, sparked a reaction, provoking the takeover of 13 of the 14 commercial radio stations in Oaxaca. The radios have been the primary source of logistical organization for the street rebellion.
sin duda alguna apostaron al desgaste y nosotros hemos sido los más sorprendidos.
Without a doubt, they wagered that the movement would burn out. And without a doubt, we have been the most surprised by the capacity of the people to respond, the improvisation and the vitality of the movement. It is worth making mention. Why the barricades? How did the barricades come about? One night, the night that is known here as the night of the caravan of death, at midnight, 1,000 police officers dressed in black take off in trucks, trucks that belong to the state, to attack the encampments. They weren't going to kill them because it would have been a massacre. The most amazing part is that it was reported over the radio that all of this was happening, warning that a convoy was coming, shooting, and the people, instead of hiding under their beds, as would be sensible, come out to defend the blockades. And they came out by the thousands. So it occurs to someone at the radio that the best way to protect the encampments from the convoy, since we are unarmed, is to set up barricades. And you can't detain armed vehicles with sticks. But there are enough people to lift a vehicle and put it in the middle of the road so that the convoy cannot pass.
Y esto fue como surgieron las barricadas. Entonces vieron que era, las barricadas eran efectivas para las.
And that is how the barricades were created. So then they saw that the barricades were effective to prevent the aggressions organized by Ulises Ruiz, aggressions against the movement. The result is that with the neighborhoods organizing and with this system of barricades, the city has been in our hands for 5 months. There isn't a single police officer, not even a traffic cop. A human rights organization that has been keeping count has told us that in these past 5 months, there have been fewer bloody events than in the last 10 years, despite the attacks by Ulises Ruiz.
Yo soy vecina de esta colonia y es muy difícil esta situación porque el gobierno provoca.
I'm a neighbor here in this colony, and the situation is very difficult because the government is trying to provoke us, and he sends people to shoot and kill us. So it's impossible to endure so much. So all of the neighbors, we came out to put up barricades to protect ourselves.
Se organizó un juicio político popular donde se juzgó a él las organizaciones.
A popular political trial was organized where Ruiz was judged. Organizations and the people alike came to denounce all of the abuse that they had suffered. And the popular council, the people, found the defendant guilty. So what they are doing now is gathering signatures. They were already brought to the Senate so that they could take up the issue and dismiss him. But for the National Action Party, the PAN, that is in power, it is not convenient that this happened in Mexico. So it has put this matter aside, and no satisfactory response has been given. To the contrary, the situation here in Oaxaca has intensified.
In mid-September, the APO upped the ante. Hundreds of teachers and community leaders embarked on a two-week march from Oaxaca to Mexico City in an attempt to pressure the government into forcing Governor Ulises Ruiz's resignation. Carmen is one of the five APO members that started a 22-day hunger strike after reaching Mexico City.
Nosotras acá, sin más armas que la moral, la razón y esta hambre.
We are here with no arms except our morals, common sense, and this hunger that we have. But it is a hunger for justice. We decided to start this hunger strike to demand the usurper Ulises Ruiz to abandon the governorship.
Como el que ahora acaba de ocurrir de la desaparición de poderes.
And what has just happened, the ruling of the Senate says in the first part, it is clear that there is no governability in Oaxaca. It is clear that the rule of law is not in effect. The Constitution says the dissolution of powers happens when the rule of law is not in effect. And while they recognized all of this, they still refused to declare the dissolution of powers. The Federal Electoral Tribunal says that yes, it was a fraudulent election. All of that is bad, but I won't get involved. I wash my hands, and that is that. There will be no more appeals.
The fragile political situation in Mexico in the wake of the controversial July 2nd elections sets the tone for the current disarray. Political divisions within the country, coupled with a revolutionary institutional party warning of non-support for President-elect Felipe Calderón if Governor Ruiz is dismissed, has made peace negotiations virtually impossible. Gilberto Hernández explains.
Y luego de ahí se viene la está en esa situación de que se implementa una mesa de diálogo con la Secretaría.
There is a situation where negotiations are established with the Department of the Interior. The Seoul Negotiating Commission, CUN, went to the department to negotiate 7 topics and it didn't amount to much. From the beginning until now, the Secretary of the Interior, who deals with the internal politics of the country, said, Fox's government does not take down or install governors, so we are going to continue based on that logic.
Carlos Abascal, Secretary for the Interior to President Vicente Fox, insists that only the governor can decide his own fate.
A estos grupos de que puede restablecer un pacto de gobierno, un pacto de unidad.
Ruiz needs to prove to these groups that he can reestablish a pact of government, a pact of unity, agreement for the governability of Oaxaca, and then he can be given a vote of confidence, a truce, so that he can demonstrate this. If not, then the governor should step down, nothing more.
On October 27th, many in the U.S. woke up to the Oaxacan impasse when New York-based Indy Media videographer Bradley Will was shot and killed while filming paramilitary activity at a street barricade. Will became one of the 18 people who have been killed during the conflict. 2 days later, more than 4,000 federal preventative police occupied Oaxaca City.
Momento de pedir el auxilio, el apoyo de diferentes barricadas de diferentes puntos de la ciudad, llegamos a.
And the moment that help was called, we came from different barricades, from various parts of the city, to help reinforce them, and they ambushed us with bullets. One has already been killed, a reporter, it seems. There have already been 5 or 6 injured and 1 killed. With this problem that just happened, we aren't going to stop until those ungrateful PRIs are taken down. Because unfortunately, we have a f***ing corrupt governor and a totally inept president that can't resolve anything.
They are telling us that the compañero that they shot in Calicanto in Santa Lucia del Camino has died, compañeros. The compañero already died. He was a foreign cameraman from Indy Media International, compañeros.
Pero ahora con los últimos acontecimientos del día viernes falleció el.
But now with the latest events that happened on October 27th, where unfortunately Indy Media reporter Bradwell died near the municipality of Santa Lucia, the violence has escalated. Crimes are being perpetrated more openly, more publicly. So amidst this situation, they've begun with detentions and disappearances. At present, we have a list of approximately 30 people who have disappeared.
Governor Ulises Ruiz has insisted that Oaxaca is in a state of what he calls normality, refusing to abandon his position or his heavy-handed and often violent approach to the conflict.
Yo ahí vería, lejos de pensar en solo dos salidas y con una visión muy corta, el señor secretario de Gobernación.
I would say that I'm far from thinking that there are only two ways out of this conflict, as is the Secretary of Interior's short-sighted opinion. We should precisely open and extend the role of the Secretary to push agreements in order to ground them in the face of radical actions and the violation of the state of law without fearing the application of the law, and we should exercise our functions as they were designed.
¿Qué cosa es? No puede ser que un hombre nada más no podamos tirarlo, como dice el presidente cuando hace alarde de que si no cumplo algo.
It can't be that we are unable to get rid of this one man. As the president says, if there's something I don't do, the people should demand it of me. We are demanding it of him. And I would like Fox to come so that I could tell him. When he came here, Murat was in power. What did he say to Murat? You're a rascal, you're a drunk, and I will be there for Oaxaca. Now, this is how he's here for Oaxaca? This is how? And I was with his campaign. I voted for him. And I did that to see change. What change? This has changed? To kill Oaxaca? It's not right, compañero. Of course it's not right. So why now has he sent the armed forces? And I am demanding this of him because I voted for him, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I voted for that change because I thought it was just.
That's Jessica Sanchez Maya. She's the president of the Mexican Human Rights League. For more than 10 years, LEMED has relentlessly documented human rights violations in Oaxaca.
Mira, en esas desapariciones no tenemos claro qué está pasando. Lo que tenemos claro ahorita ya preliminarmente es un patrón.
It is not exactly clear to us what is happening with these disappearances. What is clear is a pattern of actions by the federal forces in conjunction with state forces. And the modus operandi is serious. The manner in which all the police forces are acting in their operatives, and I would say that is more like political persecution and intimidation of the social movement in Oaxaca.
At the time of this report, the Congressional Committee for Human Rights reported that the conflict in Oaxaca has caused more than 100 illegal detentions, 100 disappearances, 100 injuries, and 18 documented deaths. Mauricio Marmela Rivera is one of those reporting his illegal detention and torture.
Nos estuvieron torturando salvajemente, burlándose de nosotros, nos subajaron.
They were torturing us savagely, making fun of us, abuse that lasted hours and felt like an eternity to be there enduring it. They didn't want us to see them. They covered us and blindfolded us. Before any question, they were beating us hard on our back and all over our bodies, and they stuck needles in each fingernail and toenail.
Sí, estamos sabedores que pueden haber repercusiones. El gobierno ha actuado.
We are well aware that there may be repercussions. The government has acted so ruthlessly that we know what we are dealing with, and we know the risk that we are running, and that includes being killed. But no struggle can be won if no risks are taken. We know the risks we are running.
Gilberto's house was ransacked by unknown subjects 2 hours after this interview.
Que no permitamos que avance la PFP.
We will not allow the PFP to advance. At this point, they are stationed at Cinco Señores, at the intersection, in all entrances of this intersection, compañeros. But we will not let them advance anymore, especially towards Radio Universidad.
On November 2nd, the Federal Preventative Police attempted to reach Radio Universidad, but tens of thousands of neighbors and sympathizers to the APO and Radio Universidad turned back the police offensive. On what has become known as the Victory of All Saints Day, they defended the radio station for 7 hours with bottle rockets, homemade bazookas, Molotov cocktails, rocks, sticks, anything within arm's reach. The police have been camped in the Zócalo since that day.
Distinguir muy claramente dos cosas distintas. El conflicto de fondo no se va a...
I would like to clearly distinguish two things. The root of the conflict will not be resolved in one generation. At the root of the conflict is a broad, long-term movement that involves a profound transformation of the Oaxacan society. Oaxaca is being rebuilt from below. This is the nature of the movement, and it is not something that will be resolved in the short term. And for this reason, it needs a peaceful path, a democratic path. This is what we lack currently with Ulises Ruiz.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. Special thanks to producers Tim Russo and Vladimir Flores for their tireless efforts on the ground in Oaxaca. Thanks to Chris Thomas for translations and to our wonderful voiceover talent. And to Dan Turner, Ronald Recker, and Steve Macer. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. For a CD copy of program number 5006, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736 or go to radioproject.org. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Dorian Taylor, communications manager, Emily Polk, associate producer, Philip Babbage, mixing engineer, Alexis McCrimmon, intern, and I'm your host and senior producer, Tina Rubio. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.